It's the Daily Talk Show, episode 856.
What is happening? What's going on, Gronks? How are we, Josh Jansen? For real, how are we?
For real. Look, I'm good today. Fat Friday. So I'm also good because it was my birthday on Monday.
Yeah.
Got messages, heartwarming messages. Not as many heartwarming messages compared to the messages I received after the story that I told yesterday. People in solidarity telling me their shit stories and all around making me feel good.
What's more relatable, shitting yourself or birthdays?
I don't know.
It turns out shitting yourself.
Yeah, it depends how many times you do it a year, isn't it?
Oh, God. It's at least once a year. I mean, it is great. Like, do you want me to just sort of reel off remaining nameless? Some of these people I don't think would want us to sort of name names.
Sure. You're continuing the stigma.
This is great.
Full names and Instagram usernames.
We don't want to toxic. It's toxic masculinity to mask who's shat themselves.
Yeah.
But this one came through. This one came through. I'm not going to say the name. Yeah. I felt for Josh so much in this moment. Literally had this happen to me last Saturday while walking through a park. Thank God I wasn't walking with a friend. Fuck my life. So embarrassing. Love you, JJ. If that is not connection at a human level, I don't know what is. We've had we've confirmation on the method of shitting yourself, which was take too much magnesium.
Yeah, and a dietitian who works at a hospital confirmed that magnesium can be a laxative.
Yep, and also another friend of the show, yes, my mum used to take magnesium every day and would have liquid shits every day. We thought she had something super bad wrong with it, but stopped magnesium and it was okay.
What do you learn from that? Like, are you surprised with... Because you're fielding a lot of the DMs.
What I learned is three is not better than two. That's a good safe rule to go on from now. Yes, because you took three instead of two. I think your magnesium is the go-to for when your body's sore, when you're probably not stretching and doing a bunch of other things, like ingesting something. There's probably a bunch you could do without taking something or... And yeah, so there's that.
Well, Jess Lucas suggested the spray. I've got the spray. She's been saying, spray your feet, spray your behind your knees, and that helps you go to nine-nines. And so I think that maybe that would do it without irritating the bowel, as they say.
Yeah. It's anything you ingest, you just getting that funky feeling in your guts.
We don't have to talk about it anymore. I'll tell you what I've got for Fat Fridays. Do you want to go first? What have you got for Fat Fridays?
Yeah, so I've got this is a fancy tradie special. Like, you'd definitely see blokes building houses in Toorak eating this. A bacon and egg roll in a brioche bun and a Portuguese tart.
You've been smashing the Portuguese tarts. This is like your shawarma fucking month all over again.
There is nothing.
Man, it's just like, should we go get another shawarma? It's like, you've had three today. You're right. You've been eating Portuguese tarts like it's a fucking...
Like you've been eating magnesium tablets.
Yeah. You will shit yourself if you eat too many. What is a Portuguese tart?
Mate, it is the cutest little thing.
Okay.
It's sweet. Yeah, but it's not like crazy donut sweet. Mm-hmm. It's... like a custard tart sweet.
Sure.
But I don't even... It's got cinnamon notes through it. It's got like a sort of glazed top, but the pastry is where it sort of dies. If it's bad pastry, throw it in the bin. But this one is from a nice bakery and it's... it's made by Portuguese. The Portuguese made it famous, I think.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's fair.
I wonder if they're just called tarts in Portugal.
You would think, wouldn't you?
Well, you hope so.
I hope.
Well,
you don't care. you're having a stance for entertainment. You don't care.
To be honest, don't care. I
bloody hope they do.
If they change their name to Tart, I'd keep eating them.
Exactly. So I actually went for a walk this morning. you told me I should, and so I listened to you, and we got a coffee, and then I was I said to Brianna, right. I just need to go and get a toasted sandwich, and she said, oh, you know, we've still got the frittata in the fridge, and I was like, yeah, it was pretty cheesy. It's like, it could be a Fat Fridays thing. And I said, what about if I put more cheese on the top just so I don't get called out for not having something indulgent for Fat Fridays? And so that's what I did. It's got like feta and stuff inside, but then I just got a vintage cheese and just melted it on top.
Oh, look at that.
And so it was delicious beforehand. It's really like, you know, it's real dense. Like because of the cheese and stuff. Can we, there we go.
Yeah. There's a lot of density to that frittata.
Yeah.
Has it got like pumpkin or sweet potato or something in there? What has it got in there?
I should know. It's got something green, some spinach and stuff. Yeah, thanks, mate.
Okay.
it's
good. Just have a taste. I mean, one thing you're probably not that great at is, I think it's because you don't cook as much, so you don't know the food, like what's inside of things. But I've asked you a few times, like, what's it tasting like? And you've struggled to articulate what it is. It's, I mean,
just like slam things down. I'm not properly considering, you know, like, yeah. You know what I mean?
One of the fastest burger eaters that's not in a burger eating competition.
It's true. No, it has been a criticism when I was a kid. Just slow down. Up, Breezy, and tell me what's in it. Tomato, spinach, and feta. And why is that? Because she made it. I don't know why that means. Oh, it sounds like Bree is worried that the consensus would be that we bought it, and she wanted to make it.
No, to be honest, there wouldn't be anything in your house that healthy if you'd bought it. I think that's, if you know you're eating healthy, it's because you guys have cooked it.
Yeah. And so this is, we cooked all this, and all Bree did, and it's great. You know, you cook it in a what's it called? Like a dish. You put it in the oven and then you put it in the fridge and then you can just slice it up and have it in the mornings. Got the tip from Pete Shepherd. He does a big, massive egg thing and cuts it up and has it as a slice in the morning.
It is lean. And so, but you have sort of introduced more fat to it for Fat Fridays because of the cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate that.
What's been happening? How's the new home?
Oh, it's great. It's getting there. We've Bodie's gone for the day, which is
I'm just hitting the mic.
Means that we can get some sort of solid work in. Plus,
is he with your parents?
Yeah, with mum and dad. No, he's at the bakery where I got the Portuguese tart. So got a playpen. No. We've it's coming together nicely. There's finally getting some stuff away. It's one of those sort of hectic moves where you are slowly putting stuff away. I don't know if there's a move where, unless you're rich and you're paying someone to totally unload the whole thing and pack it away, but then you don't know where anything is because you haven't packed it away.
Because you're moving so close to where you were living beforehand, any hacks for things that you didn't have to dismantle or, you know? I'd just be tempted to fucking carry things in their full form down the road rather than having to fucking deal with dismantling stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you push that to the limit, but then there's...
Do you take stuff out of the drawers? If you had a dresser, would you just leave?
No, here we go. I removed the drawers with the things in them, put them into my car and took them to the house, and then the removalists just did the big frame of the cabinet or whatever, and then I just slid the drawers back in. And so that was very handy. When you have to start sort of taking shit out of drawers, putting them into boxes and then making sure they don't break. It was very handy. But I was on I was reading an article this morning of a hacker who I think you'll love this. It will be a great read for you. When you browse Instagram and find former Australian Prime Minister Tony Abbott's passport number. And that's the name of the article. This guy is a hacker, and he had people reach out to him say, mate, can you hack this? And so, you know, it's not happening now, and I probably don't think it will happen. Maybe there'll be a big spike of it, but people posting photos of their passports. I'm sure if we went back, it's probably in your archives now.
It's definitely all over. Like the boarding passes were a big one.
Yep.
You know, your tickets going to a concert, you'd post that. Even people just being like, you know, following Barefoot, got my splurge card.
Yeah.
It's a nice little photo of your debit card.
Well, Tony Abbott, I mean, this is, I like to just think about, I mean, we're nowhere near the size of somewhere like America, but you look at, this is Bill Clinton. So Bill Clinton's taken a photo of his passport, of his boarding pass and ticket, and then Instagrammed it. This is what the previous Prime Minister of this country has done. Mm-hmm. And then some hacker has gone, oh, easy. And he's gone through the process of finding Tony Abbott's date of birth, phone number, logging into his Qantas frequent flyer portal, and then before, like, he didn't really want to do anything, didn't want to do anything malicious with this. One of the things on his post says, "Do not get arrested. Challenge 2020." He said in this act, he basically worked out, figure out whether I've done a crime, notify someone, maybe Tony Abbott, get permission to publish this blog post, and then tell Qantas about the security issues that they can fix. So he's almost like a white hat hacker at this point. But it took almost 6 months for him to get permission to post this. But what he did was he downloaded the image and then inspected the image. And then in that image, he found all this information about Tony Abbott. Like full name, like his date of birth. And so he's just used all of these to then engineer and get into his Qantas frequent flyer portal. So people don't post their. I can't. This is where I don't understand. We've had this conversation about number plates. I saw this person, this influencer, one photo. So they did a carousel. One photo, number plate, like blanked out. Swipe photo to the left. You can see the number plate. I was like, at what point? Like, why are you doing that? For one, is someone?
What do you mean?
Can someone? But
what
can
do you
someone
mean, swipe
you
left?
Swipe left, and you know, a carousel of photos. You swipe left, and you can see another photo.
Oh, so they blurred out one, but not the other.
They blurred out one, and then you swipe, and then you see another photo of the car.
Oh, there's definitely like a I love when you see something that's blurred. I love to try and figure it out. Like I saw big influencer from the UK, and she had reshared a friend's Insta story.
Yeah.
And in the Insta story, it's a throwback on her Facebook. And the influencer had whited out her Facebook name because obviously she uses a different name than what she uses as an influencer.
Oh, yeah.
And I couldn't help myself. I just went to the friend's Insta story, clicked through and saw it because it wasn't censored on the friend's account. It was just censored on the influencer's account.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, it's like when people... I mean, I think a real problem one is the taking a photo of you in front of your sold board. Mm-hmm. You know, like you've just bought a house. For one, don't be a wanker. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're just flexing at that point that you've got some debt. Two, it's very clear where you live because you just look at the real estate agency. Like usually they white out the address or the area.
But then you just write in the copy. You could literally just write the copy from the board into realestate.com.au or whatever. I'm sure you'd find it.
And so the people that are doing this, I mean, so you're just collectively seeing other people do stuff and you're then thinking, I'll do that.
Yeah.
But at the point of trying to be cyber safe, you just wouldn't post.
So what could you do? All. So with the license example, I guess there's
if I didn't like somebody, and I knew their license plate, you could be an absolute flog and dob them in for littering.
Sure.
Or you could say here we go. Me mate Terry, who I went to high, he's not my mate, I hate Terry. But Terry got a bloody Nissan Skyline GTR R32, kept it old school, roll cage inside. You know, huge amounts of boost going to that engine from the turbines. And it sounds too loud. And I don't like Terry. So, I'm going to call the EPA or something. There's like an...
Environmental Protection Authority. Yeah.
Yep. And I'm going to dob in Terry and say that I saw him tearing past me. And it it injured my ears. Mm-hmm. And then he will get a letter in the mail that says, hey, Terry, you need to go take your car to be tested to see if it's the right decibels for people's earballs.
Yeah,
that happened to me. Here's this.
What do you mean?
So,
Was this in the BMW when you were
stripping? No. It'll make more sense when you know the car. My VL Commodore, my first car, mm-hmm. 1987, burgundy color, original interior. One of the cleanest interiors you'd see, one of the worst exteriors you'd see. It was, you know, it was a trade-off. Color for low Ks and great interior. So I bought this thing from Berwick, mm-hmm. and it was a, yeah, 5-speed manual, very happy with it. Dropped 4K on it, first car. And
5-speed manual, are there a lot of 4-speed manuals?
There's not. If anything, so it's a flex it? To say that it's a 6-speed.
Okay, so 5.
But I was just saying 5-speed manual. Mm-hmm. Oh, let's say manual. It was a manual. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I got an exhaust put onto it.
Of course. Yeah.
Fully sick. Mm-hmm. I got an exhaust. And it was loud. It was loud. But, you know, I trusted the guys that put it on. Mm-hmm. Paid on card. It wasn't a cash job.
Yeah.
And, you know, I proceeded to be a young guy driving a VL Commodore around. Mm-hmm. And at one point, I had a full car load and I was in...
Now, that status, you know? Like
yeah,
having,
yeah.
Having
oh,
a
mate.
Muffler, having, you think, having a...
Yeah. I'm playing status games, mate.
Why else are you doing that? Oh, I'm here!
And I had a car full of people and we were tearing around. I don't think I was being that naughty. I don't think I was. And I just... This guy looked at us and did this arm action. I was like, what's he talking about? Mm-hmm. And maybe because I just donked it and it sounded loud at the point. But sure enough, 2 weeks later, I got an... someone had ratted me in. Mm-hmm. Someone had taken my number plate and ratted me in. And you have to go and get the test. It's like, you know, it's obviously the law that once you get this letter, you got to go get it sorted. And so, it cost me $300, I think,
yeah,
where they do something where they reduce the sound of the exhaust.
I've actually heard stories like this with, you were mentioning the EPA, a friend who, there was a road rage incident with someone else and they just, the person said, hey, they threw a ciggy out the car, don't even smoke. Yeah. And had to go and do, like, had to fight the fine.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so, if you throw ciggies out the window or you litter, you're a gronk. And if you get caught or someone gets you a fine, you should be paying it, mate. No one else is going to clean up your shit. Do it yourself. But if you do it without, you know, it actually happening, like, that's I think, more... What's more gronky? A litterer? Or a liar? Both bad.
A liar, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because then it's like, where do you take it, right? I mean...
Yeah, yeah. Because you could lie about littering.
You could.
That's where I went with it.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I mean, the social engineering stuff is fun. I've spoken about it on the show. There was a show back in the day called The Broken. It was a web show. And... Kevin Rose, who founded Dig.com, would do all of these different social engineering sort of experiments, and one of them being how you get a free pizza, which I've spoken a lot about. But there's a great, if you're interested in all of this stuff, there's a guy named Kevin Mitnick. He was the first guy to ever being put in jail for hacking. And now he's a white hat hacker, so he hacks for good.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's got a book called The Art of Deception, where so much of this hacking is not just about, like, to your point, it's not, you know, hacking into systems just like brute force. It is getting this bit of information, that bit of information. Imagine, I was thinking one of my mates had a video of them leaving in a car yesterday, right? They were in a car and it was like a private Uber, basically.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It had the number plate on there. And I was thinking, what you could do, you could contact the... For one, you could try and find out stuff on your own in regards to the number plate. But then, like what happened with Georgie Boy, he had an incident where he left his MacBook Pro in an Uber. He contacted the cops and they were super helpful. And so,
that's right.
And then you also contacted another company and they were super helpful. So you could contact, you could find the name of the company that the limo is from. Say, hey, I'm this person. I ordered this car. I don't actually have their details, but I left something in there. Could you contact them, get the details, and then on the back end, reverse engineer some sort of, I don't know what you could do actually at that point, to be honest.
Just you could say, get a few details for your diary.
There. Okay.
Well, half of it's like, so this half of it, the social engineering stuff. So there was, I was listening to a podcast where they were talking about someone who was working at a store on a beachfront.
Mm-hmm.
And there was these groups of people that would do this tactic where they would come up. And so there'd be young people behind the counter. I was one of them. I was a young 14-year-old working at a netball center behind the counter using an old cash register that didn't really work. And so I had to sort of,
I can really imagine to do maths. You were at a netball center, to be honest.
Yeah, my uncle owned it. So, you know, real it was a sympathy dog. Job. Sympathy job. I definitely ate more killer pythons and sausage rolls than what I actually got paid. Folded a lot of bibs though. Netball
really?
Bibs. Smelly bibs. Yeah, I had to fold them. Anyway, that's sort of humbling at that point when you work and fold in smelly bibs.
Is it humbling's an interesting... Can I just say the humble on the humbling thing? So many people misuse this. Like they say, I got all this great feedback. It was really humbling. It's not really humbling, is it?
Of course not. That's
when you get like I don't know if it's a US thing, but I just see like I was humbled by how much people loved me. What?
Oh, yeah, at that point.
Anyway, go on. So the bibs.
Past tense, humbled, past participant, humbled, cause someone to feel less important or proud. So technically right.
Less important or proud.
Well, because you can be humbled based... Yeah, I think you are. You can be humbled because, for one, I had a false sense of who I was probably, which I always have.
No, so you used it right. So you used it right.
I did.
No, but I think like the people like, I'm getting all this... I had so many people engaging with my thing. Like I was really humbled by the whole thing. Is that...
Well, no, because if they felt less...
If I'm wrong, I'm
less,
humbled right now.
Well, they felt less important than what people identified them to be. And so if you were to get... So if you were to be a creator who's humbled by the attention to a video, you obviously thought you weren't good enough to experience or receive all of that love because you're like a piece of shit creator.
I don't know if it's a right use. But anyway...
That's what it says. A sporting opponent previously thought to be superior.
So, okay, no, so that thing. Is it. So
yeah,
like,
no, that is
humbled,
it. Yeah.
I was humbled by the fact that only 1,000 people watched my video that I thought was going to go viral. If you had
a million people
view your video, you're not really humbled by that.
You may as well just say I was fucking embarrassed. That's more suiting. But I'm an egomaniac. And I thought it was...
No, but so that works. So the embarrassed bit, like, so that context works. What doesn't work is when people are humbled when they're, you know, getting heaps of praise or something was successful. I was humbled by the response.
Definitely.
I'm not sure on it.
No, but maybe it's a good
point.
Maybe
if someone can email us, hi@thedailytalkshow.com. I've been thinking about it a lot because we're using humbled as a term a lot lately. And so anyway,
I'm at the netball center. And I was using the cash register, usually using like a calculator to get the numbers right, right? Mm-hmm. And so there is some scumbags in this earth that go up to counters and will hand over a $20 note, buy something. So they actually buy something from in the $2 water. But the way they sort of articulate what they force back more money than what they have handed over. No. I gave you a 50. So what I need back is a 20 plus. If you could give me 2 tens, just a 5, and then all I need is $3. But if you could give me 2 50-cent coins, and you know, and then the others in just $2 $1. By that point, the young, you know, kid is like, oh no, but you didn't give me a 50, and like you're starting to panic. Mm-hmm. And so I've experienced this. I've handed over more money without someone even doing that to me. Yeah, literally handing over more money. But then when you get to a... I always laughed it because I always knew I couldn't work it out. It always rattled me at the point where someone was like, oh, can you give me back a note? Where they've, you know, like they've given me more money than it was. So they've given me like a $20 and a $2 coin and a 50 cent. And they're like, can you give me back this? And I'm like, oh. And so I worked out that you just put in the amount that they gave you on this cash register and put in the thing that they, and you press it and it tells you. So I outsourced it to the cash register. Right. But if you don't have a cash register that can do that, mm-hmm. I see how I would be the guy handing over more money, because I'd be freaking and I'd be like, I don't know math, so clearly this person's more smart than me. Mm-hmm. You know.
I get that. Was that your first ever job?
No. I had a paper round. I had a really? Paper round.
What time in the morning would you have to get up?
Oh, 5:15 a.m. Mm-hmm. And I was fucking grade 6 or something. Jimmy, Conspiracy Jimmy, my best mate, had that too. And mm-hmm. so it was like a real thing down in Gardenvale. And you'd
do you remember what you got paid? Because you're not meant to have a job until you're 14, 9 months. So is it one of these things where your dad...
I don't know. Nah. It was just everyone. Everyone knew the local newspaper joint, and
is it like
go,
a news agency? That
it was a news agency, mm-hmm. and then out the back there was a alleyway that you'd go, and the smell. I remember the smell. It was an oily old machine mm-hmm. that would wrap the papers in the plastic.
Ah, uh-huh, sure. Yeah.
And I remember packing it, and I just remember this one time I was in a paper round by myself, and you've got the sort of you'd take your bike, and they would kit it out with the thing that would hold the cage on the back.
Oh, that's good.
That's right.
You see, so I feel like 2020. I even feel like 5 years or 10 years ago, when I was even still like 10 years ago when I was still in the suburbs, you would see like it's a car sit show. Like
yeah.
In the car,
well,
and the kids just throwing it out the side or whatever is the
so what I think that you may have been seeing was a Saturday morning round, because the Saturday morning round is big. And so you can do the midweek round on your bike. Saturdays had to get mum, and we'd take the car mm-hmm. and we'd fill up the back of the car. You'd fill up the whole entire boot with papers. But this one time, and this is, I was humbled. I was so humbled this one morning. I was crying. I got this huge, well, it was just two compartments at the back of my bike full mm-hmm. of papers, and I was early on my run, and the bike tipped over, and I wasn't strong enough to get it back up, and then it fell over, and the papers didn't come out, but they were all there, and I was really struggling to pull the bike back up to its standing position.
How many newspapers do you reckon there were?
40 something, I reckon, maybe mm-hmm. 40 to 50, 25 each side. Like a lot, man. There's a lot. And I just remember it was cold, dark, and I was young, and I was starting to weep. But I got the bike back up.
Did you have a bike light?
Yeah, I had like a little. Remember, all that stuff was shit back in the day. Now you can get bike light, or you can get lights for your skateboard, and all. Yeah. It was a really crappy one.
This is a fire. Yeah, holding it up as you're right.
but God, it's good to think back. Like, I did it. I got the bike back upright mm-hmm. and I finished off the round and
in the letterbox, or was it a throw situation? I couldn't imagine you being trusted with it. You were trusted with throw. Surely you broke a few windows or ruined a few.
I think
gnomes.
I did hit a light once and I fucking got out of there. They know who it is. It's the fucking paper boy. Yeah. Anyway, it's good. It's humbling. It feels good to say it's humbling when you don't even know what it means or if it's the right context. You know? Context.
Yeah. Did you ever work at a fast food joint?
No. So that was it. Paper round, and then I worked at the netball centre for quite some time, mm-hmm. and then I nearly got a job. Well, I landed it at the fruit shop, but then I ended up getting an apprenticeship, and then I moved into personal training, and then moved into radio, and now I'm here. Mm. So I actually haven't had that
progression of a podcaster.
Exactly, exactly. It's I don't feel like that's a heap of jobs. But
I mean, the thing is, like,
I feel like it's enough.
Yeah, most people will have a new job every sort of 12 to 24 months.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Well, I kind of found, by the time I'd found personal training, I did that for 7 years. And so, and then it was like media. So I've had various jobs in the media. I mean, if you're looking at it per job level, at a video production point, I've had hundreds. Yeah, sure. Hundreds of different jobs. anyway.
All right, I'm going to go finish this frittata. I decided not to keep eating it.
I just had one bite of my Portuguese tart. It tastes like a cinnamon donut in tart form. That's it.
But it's got custard in it.
Yeah, yeah, but it's all the flavors of a cinnamon donut. Like, cinnamon, but then it just has, I don't know, just remind me of a cinnamon donut.
Okay, great. All right. It's a daily talk show. Hi at thedailytalkshow.com is the email address. Share on Instagram. Please do it. Just take a screen grab and say that you're listening or whatever. Maybe you've got a theory on Portuguese tarts, on being humbled. Or maybe maybe you could even share a photo of you doing a paper round, if you've ever done a paper round from when you were a kid. That would be fun.
Or if you eat magnesium, just take a photo of the bottle and then just write, if you know, you know.
I do like that. Or the other thing is I'm wanting to get into some fish supplements. I'm just wanting to get a little bit less inflamed. I'm feeling like that's my big, you know, it's not all about weight loss and stuff like that. I'm trying to be a little bit more sensible, and I just want to feel better. And I know Sevs is all on he's fucking smashing the fish oil and things like that. So if you have any recommendations of vitamins, I'm just going to fucking start with a few, you know. Do you have any vitamins, TJ? Are you doing any?
Vitamin C. What do you call it? That Armour Force.
Yeah, when I'm a bit sick. Armour Force is more when you're sick. Yeah.
Yeah. When you're sick.
Vitamin D. I feel like maybe I could get around given the circumstances with ISO, and it can't be too expensive because remember they said, I asked the doctor, "Can you test me for vitamin D?" And they said, "It's actually cheaper just to buy vitamin D than to get the test."
Assume you're deficient.
Not even, like, I think it's just, it doesn't hurt. You'll just piss it out if you've got enough.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My mum's worried. Awesome. I'm worried in iron, by the way.
You're low in iron.
What did I say?
Yeah, I'm worried in iron.
Yeah. Yeah, low in iron. Maybe that's why I'm misspeaking. Because I was low in iron as a kid, so. Good story, isn't it? Okay.
All right, guys.
Enjoy the rest of your day. And we'll see you for Weekend Banter tomorrow. Have a good one, guys.
See you, guys.